Chapter 15, page 173. The inheritance purchased by the oblation of Christ. The second effect of his priesthood. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians 4, verses 4 and 5. The payment of our debt, expressed by our redemption, or buying us out from the obligation and curse of the law, was considered in the last discourse. The purchase of an inheritance for the redeemed, expressed here by their receiving the adoption of sons, is our present subject. Adoption, according to the civil law, has been defined as a lawful act, an imitation of nature, invented for the comfort of them that have no children of their own. Divine adoption is that special benefit whereby God, for Christ's sake, accepts us as sons and makes us heirs of eternal life with him. Between this civil and sacred adoption, there is a twofold agreement and disagreement. They agree in this, that both flow from the pleasure and goodwill of him who adopts, and in this, that both confer a right to privileges which we have not by nature. But in this they differ. One is an act imitating nature, the other transcends nature. The one was found out for the comfort of them that had no children, the other for the comfort of them that had no father. This divine adoption is in Scripture either taken properly for that act or sentence of God by which we are made sons, or for the privileges with which the adopted are invested. And so it is used, Romans 8, verse 23, and in the passage now before us. We lost our inheritance by the fall of Adam. We receive it, as the text speaks, by the death of Christ, which restores it again to us by a new and better title. The doctrine hence is that the death of Jesus Christ has not only satisfied for our debts, but purchased a rich inheritance for the children of God. For this end, he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Hebrews 9, verse 15. We will here see what Christ paid, what he purchased, and for whom. Roman numeral 1. What Christ paid. Divines comprise the virtue and fruits of the priesthood of Christ in these two things, payment and purchase. Accordingly, the obedience of Christ has a double relation, the relation of a legal righteousness and of a merit over and beyond the law. Here, divines rightly distinguish between the substance and circumstances of Christ's death and obedience. Christ's suffering, as to the substance of it, was no more than what the law required, for neither the justice nor love of the Father would permit that Christ should suffer more than was necessary for him to bear as our surety. But as to the circumstances, the person of the sufferer, the efficacy of his sufferings, etc., it was much more than sufficient, a merit above and beyond what the law required. For though the law required the death of the sinner, who is but a poor, contemptible creature, it did not require that one perfectly innocent should die. It did not require that God should shed his blood. It did not require blood of such value and worth as Christ's. I say the law did not require this, though God was pleased for the advancement and manifestation of his justice and mercy in the highest, to allow and order this by way of commutation, admitting him to be our ransomer by dying for us. And indeed, it was a most gracious relaxation of the law that admitted such a commutation, for hereby justice is fully satisfied, and yet we live and are saved, which before was a thing that could not be imagined.
Yea, now we are not only redeemed from wrath by the adequate compensation made for our sins by Christ's blood and sufferings, substantially considered, but entitled to a most glorious inheritance, purchased by his blood, considered as the blood of an innocent, as the blood of God, and therefore as most excellent and efficacious blood, above what the law demanded. By this you see how rich a treasure lies in Christ, to bestow in a purchase for us, above what he paid to redeem us, even as much as his soul and body were more worth than ours, for whom it was sacrificed, which is so great a sum that all the angels in heaven and men on earth can never compute and show us the total of it. This was the inexhaustible treasure that Christ expended to procure and purchase the fairest inheritance for believers. Having seen the treasure that purchased, let us next inquire into the inheritance purchased by it. Roman numeral 2. This inheritance is so large that it cannot be surveyed by creatures, nor can the boundaries and limits thereof be described, for it comprehends all things. All is yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 22 and 23. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Revelation 21, verse 7. But to be more particular, number 1, all temporal good things are purchased by Christ. He hath given us all things richly to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Not that they have the possession, but the comfort and benefit of all things. Others have the sting, gall, wormwood, baits, and snares of the creature. Saints only have the blessing and comfort of it. So that the little that a righteous man hath is, in this among other respects, better than the treasures of many wicked, which is the true key to open that dark saying of the apostle, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 10. They only possess. Others are possessed by the world. The saints use the world and enjoy God in the use of it. Others are deceived, defiled, and destroyed by the world, but these are refreshed and furthered by it. Number 2. All spiritual good things are purchased by the blood of Christ for them, as justification, which comprises remission of sins and acceptance of our persons by God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ, Romans 3, verse 24. Sanctification is also purchased for them, for of God He is made unto us not only wisdom and righteousness, but sanctification also, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. These two, our justification and sanctification, are among the most rich and shining robes in the wardrobe of free grace. How glorious and lovely do they render the soul that wears them. These are like the bracelets and jewels Isaac sent to Rebecca. Adoption into the family of God is purchased for us by His blood. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:26. Christ, as He is the Son, is the heir by nature. As He is mediator, He is the heir by appointment, appointed heir of all things. Hebrews 1, verse 2. By the sonship of Christ, we, being united to Him by faith, become sons, and if sons, then heirs. Oh, what manner of love is this, that we should be called the sons of God, 1 John 3, 1, that a poor beggar should be made an heir, yea, an heir of God, and joint heir with Christ. Yea, that very faith which is the bond of union, and consequently the ground of all our communion with Christ, is the purchase of His blood also. To them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 1, verse 1. This most precious grace is the dear purchase of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yea, all that peace, joy, and spiritual comfort, which are sweet fruits of faith, are with it purchased for us by this blood. So speaks the Apostle in Romans 5, verses 1 through 3, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Moreover, the Spirit Himself, who is the author, fountain, and spring of all graces and comforts, is procured for us by His death and resurrection. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3, verses 13 and 14. That Spirit that first sanctified, and since hath so often sealed, comforted, directed, resolved, guided, and quickened your souls, had not come to perform any of these blessed offices upon your hearts if Christ had not died. Number 3. All eternal good things are the purchase of His blood. Heaven and all the glory thereof is purchased for believers with this price. Hence that glory is called an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, to the lively hope whereof you are begotten again by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Not only present mercies are purchased for us, but things to come also, as 1 Corinthians 3:22. Roman numeral 3. All this is purchased for believers, hence it is called the inheritance of the saints in light, Colossians 1:12. All is yours, for ye are Christ's. That is the tenor, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 22 and 23. So Romans 8, verse 30, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Only those that are sons are heirs. Romans 8, verse 17. The unrighteous shall not inherit. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. To the little flock it is the Father's good pleasure to give the kingdom. Luke 12, verse 32. Inference number 1. Hath Christ not only redeemed you from wrath, but purchased such an eternal inheritance for you? Oh, how content should believers be with the allotments of providence in this life, whatever they may be. Content, did I say? I speak too low. They should be overcome, ravished, filled with praises and thanksgivings. How low, how poor, how afflicted soever for the present they are. Oh, let not such a thing as grumbling, repining, fretting at providence be found or once named among the expectants of this inheritance. Suppose you had taken a beggar from your door and adopted him to be your son and made him heir of a large inheritance, and after this he should contest and quarrel with you for a trifle. Could you bear it? How to bring the spirit of a saint into contentment with a low condition here, I have laid down several rules in another discourse. A saint indeed, to which, for the present, I refer the reader. Number 2. With what weaned affections should the people of God walk up and down this world, content to live and willing to die? For things present are theirs if they live, and things to come are theirs if they die. Paul expresses himself in a state of holy indifference. What I shall choose, I know not. Philippians 1:22. Many of them that are now in fruition of their inheritance above had life in patience and death in desire, while they tabernacled with us. And truly the wisdom of God is specially remarkable in giving the new creature such an even temper as expressed, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 5, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and patient waiting for Christ. Love inflames with desire, patience allays that fervor, so that fervent desires, as one happily expresses it, are allayed with meek submission. Mighty love with strong patience. And had not God united these two principles in the Christian's constitution, he had framed a creature to be a torment to itself, to live upon the rack. Number 3. Hence we infer the impossibility of their salvation that know not Christ, nor have interest in his blood. There is but one way to glory for all the world. No man cometh to the Father but by me. John 14, verse 6. The blessing of Abraham comes on the Gentiles through faith. Galatians 3, verse 14. Scripture asserts the impossibility of being or doing anything that is evangelically good out of Christ. Without me ye can do nothing. John 15, verse 5. And without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. Scripture everywhere connects salvation with vocation. Romans 8, verse 30. And vocation with the gospel. Romans 10, verse 17. To those that plead for the salvation of heathen and profane Christians, we may apply the keen rebuke of Bernard, that while some labored to make Plato a Christian, he feared they therein proved themselves to be heathens. Number 4. How greatly are we all concerned that our title to the heavenly inheritance be clear. It is horrible to see how industrious many are for an inheritance on earth, and how careless for heaven, by which we may plainly see how vilely the noble soul is depressed by sin and sunk down into flesh, minding only the things of the flesh. Hear me, ye that labor for the world as if heaven were in it. What will you do when at death you shall look back and see all that for which you have spent your time and strength shrinking and vanishing away from you? When you shall look forward and see vast eternity opening to swallow you up, oh then, what would you give for a well-grounded assurance of an eternal inheritance? Oh, therefore, if you have any regard for your poor soul, if it be not indifferent to you whether it be saved or be damned, give all diligence to make your calling and election sure. 2 Peter 1, verse 10. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13. Remember, it is salvation you work for, and that is no trifle, your own salvation. It is for thy own poor soul that thou art striving, and what hast thou more? Remember, God now offers you his help. Now the Spirit waits upon you, but of its continuance you have no assurance, for it is of his own good pleasure, and not at yours. To your work, souls, to your work, strive as men that know what an inheritance in heaven is worth. And as for you that have solid evidence that it is yours, oh, that with hands and eyes lifted up to heaven, you would adore that free grace that hath entitled a child of wrath to a heavenly inheritance. Walk as become heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Be often looking heavenward when wants pinch here. Oh, look to that fair estate you have reserved in heaven for you, and say, I am hastening home, and when I come hither, all my wants shall be supplied. Consider what it cost Christ to purchase it for thee, and with a deep sense of what he hath done for thee, let thy soul say, Blessed be God for Jesus Christ.